Hallelujah. No one really knows why it is that you praise God. Because the reality is they don't know what God has really done in your life. And whenever God brings you through, and whenever God brings you out, and whenever God keeps you and delivers you, I believe you ought to praise Him. You ought to praise Him. No one should have to pump and prime you to praise. But because you've got a mind and you can remember what God has done for you, come on here. You ought to give Him your best praise. You ought to give Him your best praise. You ought to give Him your best praise. Hey, 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 hey. God be praised. 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 I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for this privilege of worship and praise in this place. Thank you, choir, for ushering us to the presence of the Lord, reminding us that praise is just what we do. Amen. It's just what we do. I am so grateful and thankful to God to see Sister Mariah with us today. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Good to see Sister Georgia Mae Harris with us. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Your church family, we love you. We've been praying for you. Every time we see you in worship, stirs our hearts. Amen. And make our hearts glad. And we're certainly thankful to God that you pressed your way today to make it to worship today. Thank God for you. I want to ask that we will continue to pray for, amen, Sister Wilma Smith and her family who funeralized her brother on yesterday. Brother Willie D. Palmer, I ask that you will pray for Miss Marilyn Warren's son, Kenneth, who was in the hospital this past week. I had the privilege of seeing him. And continue to pray for Miss Ellen Bryant and just all of those who are on our sick list and prayer list. I spoke with Miss Sister Diana Davey this week and all of those who are sick and shut in. Let's remember them in a very special way when we pray. Amen. God bless you. Won't you stand to your feet? It's time for the word of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the words you're going to share with us today. Make it applicable to our lives, that our lives may be better. God, I pray that as your preacher, I pray for a special anointing. Allow me to decrease so you can increase. Let less of me, more of thee be shown here this day. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thine sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. The people of God say it. Amen. Amen. From the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, New Living Translations on screens prayerfully for us to read it together. I'm going to ask that we would do it aloud, ready, read. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about what do you see? What do you see? I want to be candid, honest, transparent here today, truthful with you today. The real reality is that our culture, our society is obsessed with physical appearance. The truth really be told, each day and each morning that we get up, many of us, most of us, if not all of us, spend a lot of time preparing to go out. We want to make sure that we look our very best. Once again, saints of God, we're living in a culture and living in a time where, again, people are obsessed with physical appearance. That's why many people, again, they join fitness clubs. And really the reality is one of the fastest growing industries in the country is plastic surgery. People want to look their best. And isn't it amazing that how many people can look at themselves and they can identify even the flaws within themselves from a physiological perspective. And the real truth of the matter is that's why they want to have plastic surgery in order that they can correct those things that they view as a flaw. But my brothers and sisters, the real truth of the matter is, as I come to share with you this lesson and this word about what you see today, I don't want you to just become so preoccupied with how you look physically or how you look externally. I want to furthermore declare to you that the Lord is not just concerned about how you look externally, but the Lord is concerned how we look internally. I'm not suggesting that any of us shouldn't look our very best. I think we should be our best to look good and to be healthy. But my point today is don't just focus on the external and not work on looking good internally. Are you listening to me? And so that is as more important as it is looking good externally, it's more important to look good internally. Because the reality is that there are some cute people externally. Y'all ain't gonna help me. But internally, they ugly. Are you listening to me? And so that's why I wanted to come today to share this lesson and this message with us today. Because the real reality, the context of this text, lest I hold you too long, is that the Lord had told the prophet Samuel to go down to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. Upon his arrival, Jesse was sent there Samuel was sent to Jesse's house again to anoint the king. However, my brothers and sisters, when he gets there, the first person he sees is the eldest boy, Eliab. And my brothers and sisters, now it was assumed that Eliab would be the next king, because tradition had kind of dictated, and the custom and the practice had been, that the eldest son would be the one who should get the throne. However, my brothers and sisters, remember I told you it was God who sent Samuel. It was God. And now remember, the first king Israel had, who was Saul, that Saul was the king that the people chose. Saul was not God's choice, but he was the people's choice. Oh, he was a good-looking king. Yeah, but he wasn't God's choice. Externally, he looked kingly, but he wasn't God's choice. He was the people's choice. Are you listening to me? And my brothers and sisters, the real truth of the matter is that there are times in our lives that we make choices, we make many decisions. And many times we choose predicated on how something or someone looks, only to discover that it's our choice, and God will allow us to have our choice, but nonetheless, what we have chosen isn't what God really had for us. But God acquiesced and allowed us. I wish I had some help in it. But God allowed us to have that which we wanted. And have God ever let you have something you wanted and you wanted to give back? I mean, it took a little time, but you was ready to give that thing back. I wish I had help in it. Watch this, my brothers and sisters. It's interesting. This is an interesting text, because here it is. As we look at our text in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, God is saying to Samuel. Now, Samuel, one scholar suggests, is now he's getting older. He's gotten older. And so here it is that God is saying to Samuel, your choice is not my choice, because what you do, you start looking at how a person looks. No, I don't want you to get caught up in that. See, because that's what had happened to Israel before. And so God is saying, no, I'm not going to trust you, Samuel. This is not going to be a man thing here. It's going to be a God thing. It's not going to be who man wants. This time, it's going to be who I want. But what God here was doing is that he was going to use Samuel. But he wasn't going to let Samuel make the decision independent of him. Are you listening to me? That's why God had to tell him, "Send this man look on the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart." Now, my brothers and sisters, this is interesting. Note, God's qualification for service is not physical appearance, but it's about the man's heart. It's about his heart. It's interesting, because heart here in Hebrew, it means mind. It's not the organ that pumps blood throughout your body, but says God looketh at the mind. He's not just looking externally at how one looks. So my friend, God is also warning us that there's a danger in judging another person based upon and predicated upon their physical appearance. Think about the people you looked over and left out because they did not. I wish y'all helped me. Because they did not look a certain way. They didn't look a certain way. Now watch this. Can I be honest with you in here today? If I wish I had some real honest, transparent saints in the sanctuary today who can confess and admit, say, listen, Pastor, yeah, I know what you're talking about because I've been guilty. I've chosen people based on how they look. And guess what, Pastor? I discovered they were cute but crazy. And see, I want you to understand that character ought to trump cute. Holy ought to trump handsome. Walking by faith ought to trump fine. See, my brothers and sisters, don't be deceived, my brothers, by lips, hips, and fingertips. Sisters, don't you be deceived by biceps and triceps. We discover in this lesson, it's about the heart. Now, so the question that begs for an answer, and I'm going to be done. The question that begs for an answer in this text today, we discover that when Samuel went to Jesse's house and all of Jesse's sons was paraded before Samuel, but the oil didn't flow. To the point where Samuel says to Jesse, says, it's all your boys. You don't have no more sons. He says, well, I got one, but he can't be the one. Says he don't look kingly. He's a little short, ruddy fella. He can't be the one. Matter of fact, this one I'm talking about, he's out in the pasture now. Tending sheep. He can't be the one. He stink. Because he smells like sheep. He can't be the one. Samuel says, go get him. Go, go. You say you got one more. Well, go get him. And they march little David in. And something happened when they brought David in. Something happened that had not happened when they marched them other boys before Samuel. The oil didn't flow. But when they brought little David, stinking and ruddy, didn't look like a king. But when they brought David in, the oil got happy. The oil started flowing. David was the one. But he was the one who was kind of looked over. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been looked over? Have you ever been left out? David was left out, looked over. But he was the very one that God had chosen. Can I make an announcement in here? God has chosen you. I don't care who left you out, who looked over you, who said you were nothing, who said you would be nobody, but I come to make an announcement in here. I want you to know in here, child of God, you are chosen. Yeah. You ought to celebrate that fact. God chose me. Seen something in me. I got worth. I've got value. Yeah, the Lord chose me. Woo. I thank God he chose me. He chose me. Don't matter what other people say about me. Oh, God, he chose me. I may not have as much as you got, but he chose me. I may not drive like you, live like you. It does not matter. But I thank God that I'm chosen. God Almighty. He chose David. Got three principles and I'm done. Because the question that begs for an answer today is why? What was it about David that would make God, not Samuel, but what was it about David that would cause God to choose him? What was it about? I've surmised a few things I want to share with you. Then I'm done. Watch this. What was it about David that set David apart from his other brothers and others that would cause God to choose him? Number one, I believe. He had a heart that pursues God. Remember, God says, man looketh, but God looketh the heart. What kind of heart did David have? David had a heart that pursues God. Yeah, that's why God would choose him. He had a heart that would pursue, that was in pursuit of God. See, my brothers and sisters, it's interesting here that God will make choice, if you will, of David. Each of the sons have been paraded by Samuel one by one, but again, the oil didn't flow. But I believe that God chose David because David had a heart that pursued him. Watch this. Psalm 63 and 1. It simply says, oh God, thou art my God. Listen to what it says. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in dry and thirsty land. Where no water is. Watch this. This psalm shows us that the priority of David's life was for him to seek God. And my brothers and sisters, can I submit and suggest to you today that God is still looking for people who are in pursuit of him and who has a heart to pursue him. Oh, bless his high and holy name. Yeah, he's looking for people who are in pursuit of him, who pursues him. Furthermore, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says it like this. He says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who would carry out my will. David had a heart for God that pursued God. David longed for the will of God. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, my brothers and sisters. See, when one pursue or seek God, he or she longs to do the will of God. The word here is reminding us that David was different than Saul. Saul wasn't in pursuit of God. Saul didn't necessarily just have a heart for God, but David did. Oh, my brothers and sisters, so I thank God that God chose him because he had a heart that pursued God. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, the second thing I discovered about David, why God would choose David, is that he had a heart that is pure. Stay with me. Because I could hear somebody say, well, Pastor, didn't he mess up? Yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he messed up. I didn't say he had a perfect heart. Or that he was perfect. But he had a heart that was pure. In that, my brothers and sisters, see, God is looking for individuals with pure hearts who will seek after him. I believe that David had a pure heart, although he was not perfect. See, there's no perfect person save Jesus Christ. However, my brothers and sisters, I believe God is looking for a pure-hearted people. See, pure-hearted people will mess up. Watch this. But they are not content and satisfied with the mess they created. See, you looking and thinking about perfection, and perfection don't exist. But the reality is you can have a pure heart and say that even though, God, I messed up and I made a mess and made several messes in my life, the reality is I'm not content and satisfied with the mess. I wish I had some help in here. With the mess that I made of my life. And so, God, I'm coming back to you saying, God, I need you to help straighten me out, fix me up. I wish I had help in here. That's why in Psalm 51, that's why in Psalm 51, David says to God, New King James Translation says, have mercy on me. He got a pure heart. Pure hearted people ask for God's mercy. Yeah. Said, Lord, he said, have mercy upon me according to your love kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. He says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me of my sins. Pure-hearted people want God. No, they got a mess, but they want God and need God to clean them up. See, what I like about David, though he messed up, he wasn't content and satisfied with the mess he made. He got to a point in his life where he had to say, God, listen, I messed up, but I need you to straighten me up. I need you to clean me up. I wish I had help in here. And that's what David did. David was a man, I believe, who had a pure heart, not a perfect man. But a man who was willing to say to God, oh, wretched man that I am. He was willing to say to God, God, I know I haven't done everything according to your will, but God, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. But then, my brothers and sisters, what was it about David and his heart? Thirdly and finally, David had a heart that prayed. He had a heart that praised, set him apart. He had a heart that praised. I believe the reason why God would choose a man like David is that God knew that David was a praiser. Oh, yes, God. Yeah, he praised God. And my brothers and sisters, I'm just not talking about some empty noise. No. I'm talking about purposeful praise. I'm talking about that joyful noise. I mean, my brothers and sisters, you know, and that's what I want to just remind you, children of God, that as God has chosen you, you need to be a praiser like David. You ought not mind praising God when you look back over your life and you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all the things that God has done for you in your life. I wish I had help here. You ought to just go ahead and praise him. And can I help you a little further? You ought not need the organ to praise God. You don't need a praise leader to praise God. I wish I had help in here. Yeah, just sometime when you just start thinking about what the Lord done for you. I wish I had help in here. I mean, you can be at home making a cup of coffee, but fool around and have a flashback. I wish I had help in here. And you start reliving some of that stuff that you've been through and how God brought you through and brought you out of it right there in your kitchen, right in your bedroom. I'm through. But you ought to go on and break out with a praise. You ought to go on and break out with a hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And just remind the Lord of how good he's been to you. I wish I had help in here. See, if you ever been sick and God healed your body, you ought to give him praise. If you ever been unemployed and the Lord gave you a job, you ought to praise him. I wish I had help in here. Yeah, if you ever had an accident and it could have been fatal, but it wasn't, you ought to go ahead and praise the Lord. I wish I had some help in here. If you ever been through tough times and thought you were going to lose your mind, but the Lord kept you, you ought to give him some praise. And the reason why God chose David is David was a praiser. He danced till he danced out of his clothes because he wasn't looking at what he had on. He was looking at God and he kept praising God. Is there anybody here got a praise on your lips? Anybody here got a praise in your heart? If the Lord's been good to you, you ought not be ashamed to praise him. Hallelujah! 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 Psalmist said, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. For some of us, we too blessed. We done got so blessed now that we don't even want to praise the Lord. Act like we always been where we are and have always had what we got. Every now and then, you need to have a flashback. Remember when you didn't have two nickels to rub together? Come on, talk to me here. Don't act like you've always lived in the house you live in. Don't act like you've always drove the kind of car that you're driving right now. You ought to have a flashback. And when you have a flashback, then you ought to break out in a praise and tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. Come on, the doors of the church are open. Won't you stand to your feet? Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Know who you are, my friend, today. Without Christ, without a church home. We offer Christ to you. Listen. It's really about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. The Lord has brought you through, brought you out, delivered you, sustained you, taken care of you. And I want to submit and suggest to you today that if you don't have a church home, you need to get connected. Won't you come make Guilt Edge your home today? Come make Guilt Edge your home today. Come make Guilt Edge your home today. As good as God has been to you, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on to Christ. I offer Christ to you. You may be saved, but you kind of disconnected and you're out of fellowship with a church. God has spoken to you. This may not be your first time visiting here. You've been coming and
And even if it is your first time, God is saying to you, this is the place I want you to be. I want you to learn of me in this place. Know who you are, my friend. God is saying, come on, it's time for you to get connected. You know it's been me who's been taking care of you, keeping you, sustaining you. God is saying, come on. You know you've been worried about the external, and God spoke to you today and told you it's not just about the external, but it's really more importantly about the internal. God is saying, come on, I can clean up your heart. I can give you a new heart. I don't know who you are, but God is saying, come. We offer Christ to you. We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. What will he do? He'll give you brand new life, life abundantly. Oh, come, come on to Christ. God bless you, my friends. You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of